Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Yes, it's a new month. September is amongst us. I hope you all had a fantastic Labor Day with the family and friends. I know I certainly enjoyed it. Probably consumed way too much barbecue, but hey, I'm here. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have tons of Labor Day sports action to update you all on, including the MSU football team and their night game against Western. Current Sports was there, and we'll dissect what we saw. The Tigers, they handle the Indians and do something that the franchise hasn't done in quite some time against the Red Sox. And a former heavyweight champion passes away way too soon. Keep it locked right here because Current Sports starts right now on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing.
From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
The team, looking at tonight's game, I mean, just describe the emotion that you felt.
You don't want to lose this one. The stuff you have to go through if you lose this game, you just don't want to have to go through it.
Dawson out to Harris for a three ball. He got it! Touchdown! And the sellout crowd is stunned.
Center field, deep. And gone! Another one for Cabrera.
Megatron is in for the touchdown, Calvin Johnson.
I've never been a coach that looks at my schedule and goes, oh, we should win that one, we'll win that one, oh, that'll be a tough one. I know a lot of coaches do that. I do not do that. Never have.
That's the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler getting his first match ever. When you see the parent in the stands with the tears in their eyes, you know, that makes it worthwhile as a coach.
Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. We'll remind you all, you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We always want to know what's on your mind. Of course, you can give us a ring right here at Current Sports. You can call right now, actually, 517-355-9527. We're going to be taking your calls throughout the entire show today. Can't wait to hear from you guys and how have you been enjoying the show so far. I certainly encourage all of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Email me at almartinwkar.org, or give us a call right now. Again, we're taking your calls the entire show. Well, what a weekend. I'm going to be joined the entire show by production assistant Alex Sharp. Matt Lutke has the week off. Man, first of all, Alex, how was your weekend? You have a good Labor Day, man.
Yeah, and the thing is with this game on top of it, it just made it a whole lot better.
It did. It was a fun time. Current Sports is out there. Alex, you and Matt accompanied me to the game, and you guys were on the field filming the game and, you know, and in the press room. It was a great atmosphere, but I tell you, the rain really – we'll talk about all that in a second. Guys, I'm a little bit under the weather today, so all of you out there, just bear with me. I'm not feeling too good. I got the coffees. I got the sniffles, but I'm going to get through this hour. But yeah, it was a great time. The Spartans, again, for those of you who don't know, the Spartans, they topped the Broncos, Western Michigan, 26-13. Now, the game didn't end till midnight, or after, sometime after midnight, to tell you the truth, due to a 56-minute lightning delay. Us media, I mean, I didn't get home till what, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., huh, Alex, something like that?
It was awful. And the worst part about it is that not only did we get home late, but you had to wait in that press conference, and you hear all of the questions, a lot of coaches being upset. It was just not a pretty sight.
Yeah, the vibe was just, man, it was just...
tension.
It was a lot of tension. Tension definitely filled the room, to say the least. And here's Mark D'Antonio after that game, 26-13 win over the Broncos. Here's Coach Mark D'Antonio.
Thought our defense played outstanding in the game, really throughout the entire game, with the exception of the last drive, which our backups were in there. But... tough game. I thought Western came to play. You know, we got to convert on our offensive possessions. We got too many possessions that we're getting the ball around the 50 or 40 or whatever it was, and not converting that into points. So we've got to be able to do that. And I thought we ran the ball okay. Lack of explosive plays, I guess, is what I would say in terms of, you know, you just can't. It's very difficult to go 4, 5, 3, 4, 5 all the way down the football field. You've got to come up with an explosive play. So we've got opportunities. We've got balls in the air. We've got opportunities to catch the football. We've got to catch the football. It's not something we've seen in summer camp, so it can be straightened out. And, you know, as we move through it, we can't make mistakes and beat ourselves. So the things that we worry about in the first game, unforced errors, we had them. We had them. We had a snap over our guy's head. We had a snap on the ground to our punter. Things that haven't happened. And, you know, we had some offsides penalties and things of that nature. So we got to clean those things up. But at the end of the day, the goal is to win, and we've got to win. So, you know, from that standpoint, goal number one accomplished. What we've got to do is clean up things. And obviously, and I credit Western Michigan, so I don't say this in any disrespect to them, but we had too many other opportunities to put the game away and to get up. So, and we have to deal in the present. And what I've seen in the present is we've caught the ball all summer long very, very well. And for whatever reason tonight, we didn't catch the ball as clean. We had too many drops. I didn't think our quarterback play was bad. You know, there's going to be plays that you want back as a quarterback, but I thought, you know, ball was on the money numerous times, and you got to make the catch. You know, pretty simple. You know, got to have more explosive plays. By that, I mean 15 and 20 yard plays. I made the call on the quarterbacks. And then the second half, we just moved them, and we just took the attitude that if you move the football, you stay in. If you don't move it, you know, we use the other guy. And I think that's something that we've got to do sometimes. And you know, that's harsh, but quarterback's job is to make good decisions, to lead, to create. I thought Cook created some downfield with some different things that he was able to do. And so, you know, you just go with it. You just sort of go with the flow. But I'll go back to what I said. I don't think either quarterback played poorly. I think both quarterbacks played well enough to generate more points than we got from our offense. Obviously, the thing to talk about here is the defense. You know, I thought they played extremely well. I'm not sure how many three and outs, but, you know, when you got 25 yards rushing and you basically shut them down on the passing game as well, I think they had maybe two first downs or three till the last series. So on third down conversion. So those are positives. We need to dwell on those positives and build on them. And, you know, we need to always play to our strengths, period. And, again, I'll go back to what I said. The name of the game is to win. We've got to do this collectively together. So, you know, am I totally happy? No. But I'll go home with a win. And in these type of games, sometimes things turn awful. I thought we played about 7 wide receivers tonight. So I thought a couple times the wide receivers got the ball in reverses, and I thought they had opportunity to run, stick their foot in the ground and get north and gain some yardage, and they did not. So, you know, it's harsh, but that's life sometimes. So I'm not here to beat anybody down, but I'm here to call it as I see it. You want the answers, so I'll give them to you. You know, things are flying out there fast. It's a night game. There's rain. It's not a lack of concentration. They're concentrating. And I've seen them all make great catches and all catch the ball very, very well. But you got to come up with a tough catch sometimes. And quite frankly, there were a number of them that hit them right square to the numbers they got to make. So let's just call it like it is. Got to get better. It's not like we cannot. And we're always going to be as good as our last game. So it's time to get ready for South Florida.
Boy, I tell you what, that was Coach Mark D'Antonio of the Michigan State football team after Friday night's win over Western, 26-13 was your final. Alex, you were at the press conference. What did you think of D'Antonio's reaction after that game?
Oh, where to start? I'm going to talk about two things. Okay. First off, quarterbacks. Okay, we've heard the same old story. It's the, oh, who can't produce? D'Antonio said it yourself. If you don't produce, I'm taking you out of the game. If you don't drive the ball. But, Al, there's one quote in listeners out there that wasn't in this soundbite that's very important that I want to talk about. Mm. He said this, quote, "We weren't up that many points when we put in the guy," he's referring to Cook.
Right.
"To rep 3 quarterbacks, you put them in there for a couple plays. I wanted to see what people could do. I thought we got sufficient work with 2 quarterbacks and we'll move from there," end quote. So what he's saying, Al, is there's not going to be 3 quarterbacks if the game is close. So think about this. If we're not going to see another quarterback besides Cook and Maxwell because the game isn't close, that means that the only way we will see Terry or O'Connor, if that, is if Maxwell and Cook play well.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's sad.
That is. And I tell you what, when you look at, you know, of course, and I'm just going to be straight up honest with you, going on what I saw Friday night, Connor Cook and Andrew Maxwell, that was a subpar performance, to say the least. Subpar. They did not play well. They did not play well. Average at best. And, you know, I feel as though I'm singing the same old song each and every year when you talk about the Michigan State football team, when you talk about the offensive side of things. The defense is consistently great. Narduzzi has that engine rolling like I've never seen before. I mean, they're great every single game. You can count on that defense every single game just about. But that offense, I tell you what, and it stems from drop passes, which you saw a lot of. You saw a lot of drop passes Friday night.
Not a ton. Not last year.
I saw a lot. What? I saw, like D'Antonio said, there were many that hit defenders, right, that were hit receivers right between the numbers and dropped. Fowler had a few. If you look at Mumphrey, he had a few. I mean, it's just a constant problem. We were talking about this last season. And if you look at Maxwell and Connor Cook, this is another thing I have a problem with. They're just simply not taking – there's no shots being taken down the field at all. And I'll key in on a key moment that I saw, Alex, that really frustrated me was when I think it was the second quarter. I think at the beginning of the second quarter, Connor Cook was, you know, behind center. And it's third down, and you got about 9 or so yards left to go. And you're throwing a slant route, post route, to the sidelines. I don't understand that. Why are you not looking down the field, taking a chance down the field, trying to get that first down, and not some cop-out play to the sidelines with a run out of bounds? That's frustrating. And this constantly goes on and on and on. On and on and on. And it's a constant problem for them. I don't know if that's a trust issue with the MSU coaching staff as far as the offensive coordinating goes. If they don't feel confident that Maxwell or Connor Cook or whoever's behind center can unleash one down the field and possibly not risk an interception being thrown. I don't know. But when you see this, I mean, this is the same old song that we sung last year, and looking at that first game against Western, that we're singing it this year too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. If the corners are playing in, that's the only reason I could think of why they throw to the sidelines. If they were shading out, you see what I'm saying?
They do it all the time, though. I saw it about 3 or 4 times. I mean, in situations where, take a shot downfield, man. You gotta, like D'Antonio said in the soundbite, you gotta produce big plays. You gotta have big plays. You gotta produce 15 to 20 yards or more during a game. Once you start playing these, if you run into a Michigan and play like you did against Western, that game won't even be close. It's going to be terrible.
And just to elaborate more on the quarterbacks not taking downfield, I think there were 3 times between Maxwell and Cook, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4.
Right.
You see a short little bunny pass to Langford, to Mumphrey, somewhere on the side, 1 or 2 yards short of the first down.
That's inexcusable.
When you're throwing a pass and it's 3rd down, you're not going for 2 yards before the first down. You're going for the first down.
Right, right.
So
exactly.
For me, that is exactly elaborating more on your point that, listen, you can't settle for the short game if it's 3rd down.
Right, exactly.
And that's like why said, we can't move the ball.
We can't move the ball. And it comes down to, like I said, I don't know if it's a trust issue. I don't know if that coaching staff, if MSU's coaching staff and the offensive coordinating staff is comfortable enough to trust Maxwell or any whoever is behind center. If I'm behind center, I don't know. I mean, you have to be able to trust whoever's behind center that they're going to move the ball. And for you to be called, I don't know if they're calling plays like that, if they're calling post routes or something like that, because of the fact that they don't believe that Maxwell can deliver down the field. I don't know. If that is true, though, that's a huge, huge problem.
Right, and here's what I saw. On those bunny passes, personally, what I think is that they were going downfield. I think what happened is Maxwell got a little too nervous, could not make that big throw, did not feel confident, did not want to maybe quote-unquote screw up in his first big game when he's trying to maintain that starting job. But when you saw a bunny pass to Langford, there were 2 receivers going bombs downfield.
Yeah.
Maxwell did not even look. He didn't even look downfield.
I think he's nervous. I think he may be too, like, right. He doesn't want to screw up so bad. He knows that his job is on the line each and every time he snaps that ball that – He wants to play the safe route. Right. He wants to play I can put it on the rope. I can make that 5-yard pass. Anything down the field, though, he's kind of hesitant, I think.
So to answer your question, if the coaches are not calling downfield plays, that's not true. They are. I just don't think Maxwell is
looking. You saw they are. You saw routes being ran by players down the field, 20 or more yards.
Absolutely.
They just weren't being taken. Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I have to dissect that more, but at the same time, you know, I feel as though Andrew Maxwell is so, like I said, I think he's so nervous right now that he has, you know, he's got Cook, he's, you know, you got all these guys gunning for your job that you want to play it safe and hope for the best that these short little post routes will turn into something big, you know, based on the feet of, you know, Fowler. And speaking of the receivers, now I'm going to go back to drop passes, though, because like I said, this is a huge, huge problem for MSU when it comes to quarterback position, but these receivers aren't making it better. Alex, I mean, like you said, there were many times that I saw where the ball would hit these guys right in the chest and were simply dropped. Blame it on the rain. Like you said, you can blame it on the rain all you want, but you got to make that play.
First of all, you have to give credit to the Western corners, first of all.
Come on, we're talking about Western Michigan, Alex. This is Western Michigan.
D'Antonio said it himself. They
Michigan State and Western Michigan shouldn't be even in the same breath.
They're not when it comes to football. No, I agree, but
this should have been a blowout. What was the card on this game coming in? What, 27 or something like that? 24 points? It was crazy.
I don't know.
And look at this. I was on the edge of my seat at one point in that second or third quarter saying, wow, this could be a dogfight. You know what I mean? If a few things were to turn the other way, this could be a dogfight. But we're going to get back to
it. It should have been a blowout, Al.
It should have been.
But they played well. D'Antonio said they played a lot better than they thought they would.
If that the defense was unbelievable. If that offense plays remotely well and scores a few bombs or plays like I think they're capable of playing. It's not even close.
Al, you and I were watching the TV in the press box, and we were wondering, wow, that looked like a really big penalty on that Western cornerback. We watched the replay.
Which one?
There were a couple of them. There were a couple bombs downfield. One was to Fowler. Another was to Humphrey.
Yeah.
And they both were great plays. So with all of these drop passes, some of those six were deflected. Some of those six... Yeah, there were maybe one or two that hit him right in the arms. I remember one to Fowler right in his arms.
Right, and you got
to
catch
that,
baby.
The one to Burbridge, too, right in his
arms. You got to catch. Yeah, Burbridge. Yeah, you got to catch, though.
I think there were only two that were right in the arms. But you compare it to last year, strides better.
Strides better compared. Well, anything is strides better compared to last season. Yeah, he had 66 drop passes.
Exactly. So
let's hear from Benny Fowler. This is Benny Fowler's thoughts. After that game, and also, you know, just on that whole frustration of the whole dropped passes, whatnot. Here's Fowler.
Benny, how do you overall personally? How do you overall assess the play of this offense today?
It wasn't that good. You know, we could be a lot better. We could be a lot more explosive, and we will be a lot more explosive.
When you talk about those passes, I mean, you're going to hear this a lot of questions about the drop passes today. Mm-hmm. When you look at those drop passes, what is the problem right now for you guys?
We just have to focus, especially with the ball being wet, just have to focus more.
So it's just a concentration issue right now?
Yeah. The ball is in the right spot, you know, just got to catch it.
Do you get sick of talking about drop passes? It seems like this is all people ever ask you.
Yeah, I do. So we just got to make the play, so we don't have to talk about it.
Do you take that personally at all?
All the time.
How do you get better?
Just continue to work every day and stay positive. No, a win is a win. You know, they all count one. So we're going to move on to the next game. We got South Florida next week. Got to get ready for them.
Can you talk about that? I want to talk about briefly the quarterback, you know, Connor playing in there, Maxwell playing out there. How do you assess their play today?
I thought they both played well. You know, it's hard for them to get a rhythm when they're switching quarterbacks. But I thought they played well. And I thought they managed the game well, too.
Yeah, so that was MSU wide receiver Benny Fowler after that game, and you know, kind of addressing. I mean, I feel like every time I go into a press conference and talk to a wide receiver for the MSU football team, I'm asking the same thing over and over. Talk about those drop passes. What's going on with the drop passes? Drop passes this, drop passes that, drop passes all the time. And like I said, it's becoming a broken record, Alex.
Yeah.
I don't know. What was your overall assessment of the wide receiver corps?
My assessment. This specific interview reminds me of the Friday Night Lights film with Don Billingsley, who was played by Garrett Hedlund, when they were asking him, why do you keep fumbling the ball, son? Why do you keep fumbling the ball? Why can't you hold on to the ball? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That reminded me exactly of that press conference.
Right.
And when I look at what Benny Fowler said, do you take it personally all the time? Of course I do. Why do you keep dropping balls? We just got to concentrate more. Ball's too wet. You're right. It's the same old story.
So, the same old song.
When I look at it, I just think it's in their heads. That's my assessment of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. I think it's. I mean, they've. when you talk about 66, I always go back to that because that's a mind-blowing number. I don't know how many drop passes they had this last game, but if you look at last season, 66 drop passes, and you know, and you look at that first game, MSU Western first game. You know, Western is a team that, you know, it's not that great when it comes to the game of football. I mean, MSU historically, I mean, they're now what, 11-2 overall. Michigan State has owned that series when it comes to Western in the past. And you're like, okay, this could be a game for them to kind of show some new things, turn a new leaf, and, you know, clear their heads a little bit. But, you know, you look at that offense, and there were just way too many things that brought back some bad memories. Now, overall, the defense scored two of Michigan State's three touchdowns and set up one of its two field goals with three of the four turnovers it forced. Now, with five sacks, it was already a fourth of the way to the 20 it produced in 2012. Now, Jairus Jones and Drummond, they teamed up to end the defense's touchdown drought while scoring the Spartans' first touchdown of the season in the first quarter. Now, Jones, a converted defensive back, he intercepted a pass by Western Michigan quarterback Tyler Van Tubergen and at the Broncos' 24-yard line, able to advance it only 3 yards before being caught. Jones, actually, it was a really cool play. I mean, Jones lateraled the ball to Drummond, who was trailing on his left, and he took the pitch the remaining 21 yards to the end zone. That was probably, for me, the highlight of the game, along with Drummond's unbelievable one-handed catch. Later in the first quarter, Drummond, he made a spectacular vertical one-handed stab of Van Tubergen's pass, and Narduzzi said, quote, I mean, if that ain't in the top 10 on ESPN all weekend, I don't know what is. It probably should be the number one play in the country. That was an unbelievable catch. It was really an incredible snag, one of the highlights of the game. Here's Drummond and Jones after that game.
It seems as though every year we're talking about this consistently good play from the defense. Can you talk about the consistency you guys show each and every year?
I mean, we just got a bunch of a nice group of guys. Coach D does a great job recruiting. They bring in the same people, so they just bring in playmakers, guys who are hungry and are going to push the guy in front of them. So you see guys making plays all the time, so it's no surprise to me. We were hard, but we were just ready to get out there and play. I mean, it's been a long off season, hearing a lot of talk, doing a lot of talking, and we were just ready to come out and play. So regardless of what play happened, everybody was hungry and hype and excited.
You said hearing a lot of talk?
Yeah.
Just negativity?
You read the media. I mean, sometimes, you know, everything ain't good, so it's a new year, and we ready to prove people wrong.
What did you prove today?
Just taking a step forward, working on finally getting to the quarterback again, making turnovers, something we harped on in the spring and in the summer, and it's really showing on the field, which is good. We harp on scoring touchdowns and getting turnovers all off season. So for us to actually see that and that actually happen, it feels great. It feels like we're taking a step towards things that we needed to correct last season, but we obviously still have things that we need to work on.
Did you call out to Jairus on the pitch there?
Jairus is just an intelligent football player. I mean, he's always trying to make plays, even in last year's camp. I mean, he led the whole secondary in interceptions. So he's just intelligent. He just seen me and threw me the ball, and I just ran. I mean, he's a, like I said, intelligent football player. He's transitioned real smooth, put on a few pounds this offseason. And basically, it's like another DB for us out there, another brains and a guy that communicates well and makes plays for us.
Is it your instinct to look for the lateral right away after a pick?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask anybody, any of the DBs, like, I mean, I was a former DB, so, like, what we do on Thursdays when it's, like, a walkthrough, you get a pick. If you're about to get tackled, you pitch it or look to pitch it. I mean, so it's second nature.
Jairus, you and Taiwan have been kind of a battle for that starting linebacker position. How are you feeling after a performance like today?
I'm content. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy we won. I'm happy we played good as a defense. I mean, he played well, so everything's good.
How do you build off this one?
Just continue to play how we know we can play, and just play like the top 10 defense that we know we are.
Yeah, so that was Curtis Drummond and Jairus Jones after that MSU victory over Western Michigan. And I tell you, those two guys really played well. And you know what's interesting? I had to ask Jairus about Taiwan, who has that starting spot right now, the starting linebacking spot for the MSU football team. And I think Jairus Jones just turned some heads, and he might be coming for that position. What do you think? I think he might be starting, man, pretty soon if he keeps it up.
Besides for Langford on offense, I think Jones is probably the only player that probably solidified his position battle.
Yeah, I think so. He's definitely in a battle right now. Not that Taiwan played bad, But Jones, he was just at the right, you know, the right place at the right time.
He was just electric. He was just electric.
He was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. So I think he's definitely increasing his bid for that position. And, of course, Dremel was spectacular. But, we can harp on all day about the defense. The defense, nothing's wrong with the defense. I would, you know, it's funny because when Dremel talks about, you know, hearing talk, I would like to know what media member was criticizing the MSU defense. Whoever he is out there, I think he's quiet right now. I think it's safe to say he's quiet right now because that defense is something that you can always count on when it comes to MSU. I'm going to tell you right now, Alex, Andrew Maxwell is not going to be the starter for MSU.
You calling it?
I'm calling it. He is not. I think I called it last week. I mean, before the season started.
Want to buy me Chipotle on it?
We'll put Chipotle on it. Because you still agree that Andrew Maxwell is going to be the starter for this season.
Oh, I'm not saying for the season. I think next game he'll still be starting.
No. I think we should. I wish I had the tape right here because I remember last week you said
for the starting of the season
that Andrew Maxwell will be the starter for the entire season. I think.
Yeah.
You think he's going to start?
Well, yeah.
The entire season.
I think he will.
All right, man. Well, okay. We're going to see. I just don't see it, man. You got a lot of confidence.
I think he'll turn heads this week.
Andrew Maxwell's going to turn heads this week.
I think he will.
You don't even believe that just now.
Well,
I'm looking at you right now. You're smiling.
I called that at the beginning of the show.
You don't even believe what you just said.
Of course I do.
Right now.
I guess you're for Chipotle.
Okay, we're putting Chipotle on it.
Yeah.
We'll put
Maxwell
Chipotle
will start this week and then every game.
So on here on out. And you were actually at, I was preparing
we'll have
the show.
A great week in practice, like usual, per usual.
Now, you were at the press conference, and you said D'Antonio seemed pretty frustrated.
He did.
With the questions.
And I'm a little scared. I'm biting my teeth that Chipotle might be running up my dollars.
Why? Why was D'Antonio frustrated?
All right, listen. So a lot of the questions today were about, want to talk about the quarterback situation? I'm not talking about that right now. He says, we're going to go through practice this week. We'll name the quarterback at the end of the week, and that's that. Mm. He didn't answer any specific quarterback questions. I think there was one other question about, you know, the youth at tight ends. He said it's very concerning. I am very worried about that. That's something we're dealing with. More questions went on about, a lot of them were on quarterbacks, a lot of them.
A lot of them were on
Jack Ebling brought up the point that you have a freshman starter at Penn State. Is that something that you seem very common today, and how hard is that to do? He agreed with Jack that, yeah, it's quite a bit, and it's not something that they're neglecting either. So,
Do you know what? I don't think that, even though Damian Terry, don't get me wrong, I mean, he turned some heads. I think he, you know, could possibly bring something more to that to that quarterback position.
And before you hammer, I think I'm going to answer your question for you. D'Antonio said about Terry that he just got here. He still has a little bit more to learn, and he doesn't want to spoil anything he is going.
Okay, and that's kind of alluding to what I wanted to get to. I don't think that Mark D'Antonio is going to put in Damian Terry because he's a freshman and he wants to possibly redshirt. Give him an extra year.
Al. So if he's not putting in Terry, then who do you think is going to be starting than Maxwell?
Connor Cook.
After last game, sure is not going to be Cook.
Connor Cook played better than Andrew Maxwell in that game.
No, he did not.
Connor Cook looked better to me. Connor Cook looked better than Andrew Maxwell.
He made
some things happen on the ground. You know what? You know what really stood out to me when I look at Andrew Maxwell and you compare him to Connor Cook? Andrew Maxwell doesn't move in the pocket. He just stands there. He finds his target. He passes. It's maybe incomplete and maybe a little skinny post route. That's it.
Hell, he moves.
Connor Cook moves. He's willing to take risk. Connor Cook is willing to take more risk than Andrew Maxwell. And I saw a little bit of that on Friday night. And that's why I think that, you know, Andrew Maxwell just plays to get by. That's the difference. Andrew Maxwell plays to get by. Connor Cook plays to try and move things. I saw a lot of effort from Connor Cook during that game. I saw some scrambling. I saw some looking down the field. Like you said, there were times where he took some shots down the field, and, you know, the DBs for Western just seemed to just get in there and get in the mix and knock it down. But I saw him taking more chances than Andrew Maxwell. I thought that overall, I don't know if the numbers reflect it, but Connor Cook was willing to take more chances down the field and just do more in the pocket than Andrew Maxwell. Andrew Maxwell was the same old song.
Connor Cook was the same old song. 6 for 16.
See, you're looking at the stats. The stats
I saw
can
the
only,
game, too.
Stats can only tell you more. I'm looking at the effort. I'm looking at how he reads the defense, and I'm looking at his decision-making in the pocket. And he's more mobile than Andrew Maxwell, which I think will bid very well for MSU. And I think his decision-making is a little more keen than Andrew Maxwell's.
Well, look at it this way. D'Antonio put in Cook because the quarterback in the game, a.k.a. Maxwell, couldn't move the ball. Cook stays in, and he gets taken out again. So if Cook was that much better at moving the ball, then why did Antonio take him out if the quarterback couldn't move down the field?
Alex, D'Antonio plays, this is another thing about D'Antonio. He doesn't rock the boat. Just because D'Antonio took him out doesn't mean that he was playing bad. Who knows what's going through D'Antonio's head at that moment? But I saw overall better play from Connor Cook than Andrew Maxwell.
You said not better play. You said more chances. You're looking at
That all goes in that category. Better play. He took more chances. He was more mobile in the pocket.
Do the listeners agree?
Please call in. I would definitely love to hear from our, again, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. If you saw the MSU Western game, I know it ended kind of late. Many of you might have been snoozing because it was definitely a snoozer of a game. It was one of the most boring games I've ever seen in my life. But that's just me talking. Call in. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts on the game. And, you know, we got to take a quick commercial break really quick. And we'll be back to run down our current sports section of the show and take your calls about anything that's on your mind. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. More current sports is coming right ahead.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, 3 major military cases have played out in military courts this summer, an important time for someone who teaches the subject.
We've sort of had the world series of military justice this summer between Dr. Hassan's case, Staff Sergeant Bale's case, and Private Manning's case.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen that you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. And remind you all, we're taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Alex Sharg and I, we just kind of broke down the MSU Friday night game against Western Michigan, in which the Spartans topped the Broncos in that one. Really, not an impressive performance on the offensive end as far as MSU is concerned. The defense, solid as always. Would love to hear your opinion on that game if you saw it, if you stayed up late and watched that one. But we have to move on as well. We're going to dive into our current sports section. A long Labor Day weekend, a lot of sports action over that weekend, including on Saturday, Michigan and CMU. Now, Michigan rolls in the highest scoring opener since 1905 with a 59-9 win over Central Michigan University. Now, it was the highest opener, of course, since 1905 when they beat Ohio Wesleyan 65-0. This was not even close, folks. 59-9 went over CMU. Now, the Chippewas, they fell behind 35-6 at halftime after losing two key players, quarterback Cody Cater. He broke a clavicle, and running back Zerline Tipton, he broke an ankle. Not good stuff. I mean, that's really, really unfortunate for the Central Michigan. Now, Cater was 2 of 6 for 13 yards. And Alex Niznak, Ithaca's own Alex Niznak, he replaced him, completing 11 of 22 passes for 131 yards with an interception. Now, Devin Gardner, he was 10 of 15 for 162 yards with a 16-yard TD pass to Jeremy Gallen and two interceptions. Now, he ran for a 22-yard score midway through the first quarter when Michigan led by just 4 points. And he had a 4-yard TD on the ground late in the first half. Also want to note that Michigan announced a couple of hours before kickoff that starting safety Thomas Gordon, was suspended for one game for an unspecified violation of team rules. But the punishment will not prevent him from playing the rival Notre Dame this weekend. So I understand we have a call. Kurt on line one. How you doing, Kurt? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, Al. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Now, I have to ask a question of you. I heard you talking about how Connor Cook played so much better on Friday.
Thank you. Thank you, Kurt.
And my question is, do you wear glasses, and were you wearing them on Friday?
Thank you, Kirk.
I wear contacts, Kirk. I wear contacts.
Did you have them in on Friday?
I had them in, man. I'm like Stevie Wonder, so my vision is pretty bad. Without contacts, I'm terrible. I can't read whatever's in front of me. So, but yes,
well,
I did.
And my assumption is you were live and at the game, correct?
Live and at the game. Yep.
Okay. Well, I was not so fortunate. I was at home watching it on the Big Ten Network,
and
when the announcers on the Big Ten Network make the comment, and I'm pretty sure this was close to a quote, all Maxwell's doing is hitting his receivers in the hands, and they keep dropping it, that's not on Andrew Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Connor Cook, Al, seriously, Connor Cook was better than Maxwell? He moved around in the pocket.
Yeah.
They were down at the 20-yard line, moved around in the pocket, fired a nice, beautiful pass right to a defensive back that the guy dropped. He would have took 3 points off the board if the guy would have caught it. It wasn't close to his receiver. Andrew Gleicher was wide open on one. Nobody within 15 feet of him, all around him, and he fires it over his head.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He was terrible. Connor Cook was terrible. You're in the camp of anybody but Maxwell right now if you thought Connor Cook played better than Andrew Maxwell.
I think, you know what, Kirk, this is why, when I look at Connor Cook and I look at Andrew Maxwell's play, for Andrew Maxwell, now like you said, Alex, if you look at the numbers, if you're looking at stats here, Andrew Maxwell definitely had a better game than Connor Cook. But I'm looking beyond that, because when you look at Andrew Maxwell's play, it was the same old song that we saw last year. Now, granted, Kirk, you have a great point here, because last season, and I go back to it all the time when we talk about MSU football, 66 dropped passes last year. 66. If you just catch half of those, MSU season could have been turned around in a minute, just like that, in the blink of an eye. Now, the reason why I think that Connor Cook will end up being the starter for MSU's football team is because Andrew Maxwell, and this is a big harp on him that I have a problem with him, because I believe he was sacked once, I believe, right? You got to be mobile, and you got to be able to read the field a certain way. And I think Connor Cook does a better job at being mobile.
Why Connor Cook played so much better, not why he's going to start.
This goes all in that category. This is why Connor Cook is going to start, and this is why Connor Cook had a better game, in my opinion, than Andrew Maxwell. Because he was more mobile, and I believe he read the field and was willing to take more chances down the field than Andrew Maxwell is. You're not going to win a game. You'll win against Western. You'll win against Western, but you're not going to win against Michigan. You're not going to win against the big dogs if you don't take chances down the field and move the ball like D'Antonio says. Andrew Maxwell, what was his longest pass that day?
It wasn't very far. But
not at all. It was probably 2 feet.
No, it was more than 2 feet. But the bottom line is, Al, you know, Connor Cook did not get them in the end zone. He was not the quarterback when they scored their touchdown. He almost threw an interception that took 3 points off the board. He did not play a great game. He can look all down the field and do all that good stuff, but if he can't deliver the ball where it's supposed to be, it doesn't matter.
And Andrew Maxwell does that, Kurt?
Hey, listen now. I'm going to give you stats. 26 yards was the longest Maxwell pass. Guess how long Connor Cook's was?
14. It was 14. 14. I have it right now. 14 to 26 is, I mean, come on now.
You're saying Connor Cook goes farther downfield with 14 yards?
He's trying to. Andrew Maxwell is trying to. I bet you that 26-yarder was more on the ground. I bet you it was probably a 5-yard pass, and he probably ran 26 yards. Come on now. But, hey, Kirk, I appreciate your call, man. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thanks, Al.
Appreciate it. Man, I love it, though. I mean, when you look at, though, if you want to argue this with me, and I think just overall, when you look at the big picture here, I think Connor Cook gives you a better chance to win than Andrew Maxwell.
I want to hear from your family and friends. I want to hear for them that are listening that, you know, they
probably sleep for me too much barbecue.
They love you, the sports, the sportsman, Mr. You know, you're the guy. You're the guy for that.
I'm just giving you my opinion on what I saw. Now you have a totally different opinion, but I don't think the thing that I have a problem with Andrew Maxwell. This is just my opinion. He doesn't take risks. You got to take risk as a quarterback. You got to throw it down the field, heap it up there, and not just uncaringly just throwing it up there, but you got to be able to read the defense and you got to be able to take some chances down the field. Connor Cook does that. At least from what I saw on some moments on Friday night. Andrew Maxwell doesn't. And I think that's the big picture here. You got to move the chains. Andrew Maxwell doesn't. Connor Cook is at least trying to. And I don't know. That's my overall assessment. Now, if you want to debate it with me, I will gladly debate with you. I mean, 517-355-9527. What did you guys see? Is Andrew Maxwell the guy? Now I got to ask you this, Alex. So you're telling me that Andrew Maxwell played great that game?
No, he did not play great. But here's the thing. When Connor Cook came in, and here's what I'll give you. I'll give you this. When Connor Cook came in, the one thing he did different was the hurry-up offense. And I think that was great because little did you see Maxwell hurry the ball down the field, really trying to move it as fast as Cook. I give that to you. I give it that Cook was doing the hurry-up. He tried to move it faster, etc. Do I think Maxwell played great? No. Did Cook play great?
What gives Maxwell an advantage over Connor Cook?
It's the fact that he's had more experience. He played a better game.
Barely. Okay, if you're gonna argue that he played a better game, I don't agree with that. But he had to not play a better game that much better than Connor Cook. And you know what's saying a lot? What year is Andrew Maxwell? What a senior?
Yeah,
he's a redshirt senior.
Redshirt senior.
Connor Cook's a sophomore, and they play basically even keel. In your opinion, because I don't see if Andrew Maxwell did play better than Connor Cook, it wasn't that much better.
And I'll give you
in
this.
Your eyes.
And I'll give
I
you
thought
this.
That Connor Cook played better.
If Andrew Maxwell, a fifth-year senior, is getting outthrown by a freshman quarterback from Western, you know there's a problem there. You agree with that?
Repeat that one
if
more time.
If Maxwell is getting outthrown by a freshman Western Michigan quarterback, there's an issue with that.
I'm going to take a call. Chad on line one. Chad, welcome to Current Sports.
Yeah, I'd just like to give compliments to the last caller. I was at the game. I think he was right on in everything he said. You can have Connor Cook take all the chances you want downfield, but he is so inaccurate, it doesn't matter. He does give you the scrambling, but if you can't hit the receiver, what good is it doing throwing downfield? If you look at last year's Connor Cook stats and also this year, his stats reveal how inaccurate he is. Maxwell, I think the biggest problem Maxwell had in that game was the wide receivers. The wide receivers not only were credited with five drops, they get no separation. If you can't get separation against Western Michigan defenders, you got trouble.
I agree.
When you're playing seven wide receivers, that basically means you don't have it. If you had two or three good wide receivers, they're going to play. You're not going to play seven. Also, watching in that game, the wide receivers do not block. I don't know how many times if a wide receiver would have put a body on a man, we would have got more yards. Also, yards after catch. When we had Martin and Cunningham and Dell, they'd throw that quick pass, and they would make that first guy miss, and they would get 10 or 15 yards. Now our wide receivers never make the first man miss. So I think the biggest blame I have is the wide receivers and not Maxwell.
Right. Hey, Chad, thanks a lot for your call. Appreciate it, man.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, and that's something else I want to talk about because you feel as though, Alex, that there were a few drop passes.
It's not just me. It's the last two callers.
No, I'm talking about,
they
the,
all
I'm
agree.
Talking about the drop passes. Okay. I'm still sticking with my – I think that Connor Cook is going to end up with that starting job. Andrew Maxwell is not going to last behind center for MSU.
Okay, anyways, for the drop passes –
the fact that you have it, first of all, see, you can make – let me harp on the drop passes for a second because you think that there were only a few drop passes.
No, I know. There were more. There were more than a few.
There were – because earlier you said that. There were a ton of drop passes this game that if you catch, the game would have been a blowout.
Sorry, let me rephrase that. There were many drop passes, but a lot of those were from deflections. There were a few that were right in the arms. So that's where I'll give you. A lot of drop passes. There were, I think, seven, but only a few were right in the arms. A few you should have had. Gosh. A couple were big plays.
A drop pass is a drop pass. If you get my dad used to tell me all the time when I was growing up playing football, if you hit your hands, you got to catch it. If it hits your hands, you got to bring it in. And I think that's going to be a huge thing too, man, because, you know, a lot of people are talking about this whole quarterback controversy and, you know, who's going to be starting, who should be the starter and blah, blah, blah. But if your receivers don't catch the football, I mean, all that kind of goes out the window. Because the quarterback is going to take a lot of heat because he is the quarterback. He's the face of the franchise. That's the most important position right in football.
And back to what Chad said, he said two things. He said, Connor Cook, if you look at the pass, it's inconsistent. And with that, I agree. But there's another thing he said that relates to wide receivers that I don't think is true. He said Andrew Maxwell would have played much better if the receivers caught the ball. Now, I think, yeah, there is an extent where there are some plays that should have been made, especially for Maxwell. But are those downfield? No. We went over this. Maxwell on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 3, he throws a short little bunny and he doesn't look downfield.
That's the problem here. That's the problem here. Connor Cook is going to take a chance down the field. He's not going to throw a skinny post route on a 3rd and 8 out of bounds. Connor Cook is going to try to get you past the chains. Anytime you got that's inexcusable. They teach you that in Powell League football. Come on now. Look, you got to know where the chains are, throw it past the chains, and try to make something happen. Andrew Maxwell does not make things happen. Period. Point blank, period. All right, we have Tom. Tom on line two. Tom, how you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I'm good, you guys. So here's my 2 cents worth after having sat in the stadium for over 28 years now. Neither one of these quarterbacks have it. I mean, it's just not there. I was very disappointed that Maxwell was even given the spot. He had all of last year to prove himself, and he did not.
The bowl game
is living proof of that. Now, Connor Cook is just an accident waiting to happen. Sorry to differ with you, Al. But he runs with reckless abandon. He can't throw the ball worth a crap, whether he's in the pocket or rolling out or whatever. But I think the problems are bigger than that. Everybody wants to blame the quarterback, blame the wide receiver group. We got the offensive line issues. Here's some food for thought.
Yeah.
We need to take a peek at our offensive coordinator spot. We have a defense that is absolutely dynamic. We have 2 offensive coordinators, co-coordinators.
Yep.
Just like the comment that was made about 7 wide receivers means you have none. 2 offensive coordinators mean you have none.
Right.
Dan Rochard was not the answer. Listen, the last guy that had a decent offense in that stadium was really Don Treadwell. And he had some tools to work with. Let's give him that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But having said all of that, I cannot believe D'Antonio can't go find an offensive coordinator that has the same kind of fire in his belly that Pat Narduzzi does on the defensive side of the ball.
First of all, Tom, I want to thank you for the call, and you brought up a great point about the offensive coordinator position. But I want to ask you this, because you said the answer is not Maxwell or Cook, and that there's probably another option here. What I want to know from you, Tom, is what D'Antonio said about the quarterback position. He said, we won't play a third quarterback unless we're up big, and we won't see a third quarterback unless Maxwell and Cook put us up big, or the defense for that matter. So what I want to ask you, Tom, is will we see a third quarterback in your opinion, or are we just basically stuck with this same old story for the rest of the season?
We are stuck with the same old story, and I'll tell you why. Because Mark D'Antonio, to a fault, is too loyal. You can watch teams on TV or what have you play freshman or redshirt freshman quarterbacks all day long. Yep, it's risk and reward. I get that. Why wouldn't you do that when your schedule is set up that you miss the 3 most powerful teams in the conference, when you can let somebody cut their teeth when your defense is as outstanding as ours is? Well, why would you not take a chance on somebody who's a redshirt freshman or even a true freshman? I don't know. I haven't seen O'Connor or Terry take a snap in my life, okay?
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what, that Western Michigan game, their first-string quarterback goes out, they roll in a freshman kid, and, you know, they could have put him in green and white as far as I was concerned at the end of the day, because he did just fine based on the tools he had to work with. But again, whether O'Connor or Terry is the answer, unless we make some bigger changes on the offensive side of the ball, is it really going to matter? When another team can put eight guys in the box consistently against us, and we don't have a clue what to do other than to run the same old tired plays into the line of scrimmage, where are we gonna go?
I totally agree. Hey, Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
And that's a solid 28 years of experience.
Yeah, I have to say that I agree 150% with everything that Tom just said. I think right now, when you look, as Matt would say, we're grasping at straws right now. When you talk about Andrew Maxwell and Connor Cook, neither one of these quarterbacks. Now, me and you are arguing who is the best option out of both of those two. I agree with Cook. You agree with Maxwell. But really, when it dwindles down to it, neither one of these quarterbacks are that great. Let's be honest here. Now, and this is an interesting point that Tom brought up, was that he doesn't think we'll see, a Terry or someone else off the bench possibly start because D'Antonio is so loyal. And it's a great point because Graham Couch had a great article on D'Antonio's loyalty in today's Lansing State Journal. And Graham Couch, it's entitled, "D'Antonio's Loyalty to Players Could Be Costly to MSU." And I totally agree with that. D'Antonio is such a loyal guy. And he believes in his system so much, and he believes in his players so much, to the point where he trusted some moment down the line where his quarterbacks are going to just get it, and some is just going to magically turn around. That's not going to happen. Let's be real. This is not a fairy tale. This isn't lollipop and gumdrop land. We're grasping at straws here, and I don't think that either one of these quarterbacks are the same. I think that Terry, give him a shot. Give him a shot. But I don't think D'Antonio will give him a shot because he doesn't want to throw out that possibility of redshirting him and getting him more experience and more time at MSU.
And I agree.
Is that right?
No, I agree.
I don't think so. You put the best player out there. The man threw for 240 yards in the scrimmage. I'm sure he could do more than Andrew Maxwell and Connor Cook did on Friday night.
But you're avoiding O'Connor. There's O'Connor
there,
O'Connor, too.
Yeah, he could give him a shot. That's what I'm saying. Give those guys a shot. They were not given a shot Friday night. I would like to see someone other than Maxwell and Connor Cook out there to see what they can do.
But, Al, and before we harp on the offensive coordinator thing, what Tom said real quick, and I'm sure we got to get to current sports topics somehow.
Briefly.
But let's look at this. O'Connor, he played in games. Terry hasn't played in an actual game.
Give him a shot. Give him a shot. Why not give him a shot?
There's so much.
He's out there working his butt off in practice. He's out there turning heads in that scrimmage. Why not give this freshman a shot?
I don't have an answer for why not.
I understand.
But what I'm saying is, D'Antonio is very right.
In practice, that's how you earn your playing time. You earn your playing time in practice what you do in practice. Give him a shot. If he's out there outperforming or putting on a show and outperforming his fellow colleagues, why not give the man a shot? He deserves it. He deserves it. You're telling me just because he hadn't had experience and played one game, you're not going to put him out there in the game?
Al, what does he deserve besides a practice of 10 for 14?
He deserves playing time if he's out there in practice, turning heads and working his butt
off. But D'Antonio won't give it. He said
exactly. He's too loyal. You're proving my point here, Alec. What is your argument here? I don't understand. Why not put him in the game?
No, I'm saying that there needs to be a third quarterback, but it's probably going to be more O'Connor because he has more experience.
Diving into the mindset of D'Antonio, yes, you're totally right. I don't think Damian is going to get a shot just because of the fact that experience. He hasn't earned his, quote-unquote, earned his right because he's never played a game before. I don't give a crap about that. I care about what he's doing in practice, if he's working his butt off, if he's going, shoulder-to-shoulder with his colleagues, with the fellow quarterbacks, throw them out there and see what happens. Okay. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt you.
Okay. Now, I want to bring up one other point that Tom really, 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 he really went on. It's about the coordinator. Let's talk about this coordinator position because you have two coordinators. You're not going to go with one. Is that a D'Antonio thing or does that fall somewhere else? And how big is that with this offense?
I think it's a D'Antonio thing because, I mean, D'Antonio is the guy who hires these guys. He's the guy who puts it in their hands to do their job. And I think, when you talk about this co-offensive coordinating position, when you talk about, Jim Bowman and Dave, when you look at that position and, like I said, granted, it's only the first game. We just saw, it's the Western game, but there were a lot of things that stood out and were very alarming. It's only the first game, but just analyzing that first game, it makes you wonder, like, whoa, you know, what is really going on here? You know, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I mean, like I said, this is Jim's first year. Dave, of course, has been with the team now. They're sharing a position. I have to see more as far as the season goes on. But at the same time, you know, Tom definitely has a valid point here where it's like, you know, there's a lot of, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of question marks offensively for this team. How are they going to be solved? Only time will tell. And it's going to start with that quarterback position. And, you know, those receivers got to step up. So only time will tell. But, you know, and, you know, it's something that hasn't been brought up throughout this entire hour was the running back position. I thought that Jeremy Langford was solid.
Yeah.
He was solid, baby.
Let's end it on a positive note.
Yeah, on a positive note for the offensive end, if you look at anything.
He was brought up. Because I said, I think the only players besides – the only player
it was brought up briefly. Okay, it was brought up briefly. Langford, he looked decent to me. I think that, you know, he's no Le'Veon Bell, of course. Right. And that was a totally different situation last season because I think, you know, due to the fact that Maxwell couldn't move the ball down the field and receivers couldn't catch the ball, they had to rely so much on Le'Veon Bell. He had the most carries in college football last season. But, you know, when you look at Langford, I think that, you know, there were some moments where you're like, wow, okay. This kid definitely has some moves. He has a lot of potential. A lot of potential there.
Yeah. If you're rushing for 100 plus yards, I think you only end up with 96 with the loss, but over 100 yards positive rushing, you know you're doing pretty well.
Right. Not bad.
And Riley didn't play bad either, or Nick Hill.
Yeah, they all three of them. I thought that, you know, they didn't, you know, there were moments from Langford that was like, "Oh, okay," but they didn't overly impress me, but they you know, it was a solid game.
And that was a big bright spot because after losing, debatably, might be the rookie of the year in the NFL and probably one of the better runners we've ever seen.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it's too early. I don't know. We haven't seen him play yet.
But for one of the better runners we've ever seen at MSU.
Yeah.
And that was a huge hole that we had to fill, that Michigan State had to fill. The fact that Langford stepped up to the occasion and probably the biggest loss, that was key.
Right. Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. All right, well, wow, it was an MSU football field day. Want to thank Kirk, Chad, Tom. You guys were great, made some very good points. I'm still sticking with, I think, Connor Cook, you know, definitely had a good game, better than Andrew Maxwell, but hey, that's just me talking. Also want to know a quick current sports rundown for you guys. The Tigers, they took 2 of 3 from the Indians, and they topped the Boston Red Sox yesterday. The A's, they now sit atop the AL West. They're tied right now atop that AL West. Federer loses in the U.S. Open. Serena's still alive. Henrik Stenson, he finally broke out of the comfort zone of second place with a 2-stroke victory over Steve Stricker to win the Deutsche Bank Championship. Sad news, Tommy Morrison, world-renowned boxer Tommy Morrison, he passed away in a Nebraska hospital Sunday night. Our condolences out to him. And, you know, man, a lot happened this weekend. I really couldn't believe that Tommy Morrison, you know, he was actually diagnosed with HIV and passed away at 44 years old. Gone far too soon, I tell you that. And, you know, a lot of people can probably recognize him because he was actually in Rocky V alongside Sly. You know, I'm a big, huge Rocky fan. But, yeah, he was definitely a recognizable face in that movie. So, you know, thoughts out to Tommy Morrison. And also want to note a pretty interesting and funny story. Coach rookie John Boyett, he was 23, he was arrested this week on charges of public intoxication and resisting arrest after an altercation with officers outside of an Indianapolis bar. Now, this was moments after Boyett told officers, quote, "You can't arrest me. I'm a Colts player." He really pulled that card. Can you believe that?
That's like
I'm a Colts player. You can't arrest me, man. Now,
I know those in office are kind of, you know, they're invincible with the law. You look at government officials. But
yeah,
that's like saying, "You can't arrest me. I'm Lindsay Lohan. I'm Justin Bieber.
Right. I'm Alex Shard. You can't arrest me. Do you know who I am?
I'm Al Jordan."
That would definitely not work. They'll look at me like I'm crazy. And they would probably think I'm crazy after saying that.
Or it's like that Mike Jordan commercial where they think it's actually Mike Jordan. Oh, you're not Mike Jordan.
Right, right. Come on. Don't ever pull that card. It never works out. for anyone who tries to pull that card. All right, fun show again. Kirk, Chad, and Tom, thanks for your calls. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, our production assistants, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Same time, same place tomorrow. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3's Lansing. Hey, take care. Have a great day. And as always, be easy, people.